I work abroad at a Japanese theme park. Another kid has gone missing. Part 2. Previously, my girlfriend Aiko and I had rescued a missing child. You might think I deserved to feel like a hero, that I might be filled with pride or honor. But instead, my chest tightened with a damp, foreboding heaviness. The kid did not look right. His eyes were permanently open, and his lips were frozen in a sinister smile. I know it might have been some crazy symptom of paralysis, but seeing the boy like that just felt so off. Aiko was worried about him too, so she joined his late-night ambulance ride to keep an eye on his breathing. That night, I walked back to my accommodations at Aiko's aunt's cottage, and I wished the story would just wrap up there. Just a nice, we were heroes, end of adventure. But it only got much worse. You see, my phone started getting random notifications from the theme park app. The application called Bakery Park Hunt. I was walking home in the middle of sending encouraging texts to Aiko, trying to help her feel brave for her emergency ride, when my phone bombarded me with, "Cinnamon nearby? Would you like to pick some?" I clicked on it, and immediately my phone entered camera mode, showcasing the dirt road at my feet. A cartoon stick of cinnamon walked into frame. "Follow me, please." I didn't feel like playing the Pokemon Go knockoff, so I closed the application. But that didn't stop my phone from opening back up and pinging me ceaselessly.
"Cinnamon nearby."
"Vanilla nearby."
"Saffron."
"Rare."
"Nearby."
It was enough to kill the battery and end my communication with Aiko completely. So I did the only thing I could. I snuck back into my room at the cottage and went to sleep. I woke up to the smell of green tea drifting through my room. Out of habit, I peered over to my left to see if Aiko was awake. But her bed was as empty and unmade as she left it. On my phone, I could see several messages from her. 1:04 a.m. "Remember to tell Nana." 1:06 a.m. "Can't text more. Guard." 1:32 a.m. "We're at helipad." 1:45 a.m. "The paramedic says the boy is stable. He is alive. I can't believe we actually saved someone. It's like the movies. We did it. We saved his life." 1:50 a.m. "I don't want to be around that guard. So I took the paramedic's offer, and I'm taking the last seat in the helicopter. I can act as a placeholder guardian." 2:07 a.m. "I feel so much better being away from those guards." 2:08 a.m. "Tell Nana I will be at the General Hospital in Shimato. I will be back in 1 to 2 days. 2:10 a.m. "I'm so sorry that they put you in that holding cell. It's unfair you're in that jail. I hope they don't keep you there long." 2:11 a.m. "But forget those stupid guards. They don't know what they're doing. Let me know when they let you go, please. I hope they treat you okay." I wish I had a chance to respond to the messages. Aiko still thought the other guard had taken me under arrest. Thankfully, that wasn't the case.
2:14 a.m. "Wow, the view is beautiful from up here. I'm so sorry for dragging you through this, but it was worth it. We saved the boy. The medics say he's gonna live. He's in some kind of shock, but he will live. 2:16 a.m. I promise no more adventures like this again. I don't want you to get in trouble. I don't want the police to get involved. 2:20 a.m. I didn't even think about how this could affect your visa. I'm so stupid, stupid, stupid. What a mess. I am so sorry. I feel terrible. Please text me as soon as you are free. I know they probably took your phone away. 2:27 a.m. It was my idea to save the boy. I'll tell them I forced you to help me. It'll make everything my fault. 3:06 a.m. Made it to the hospital. They're giving me a room. I hope to hear from you soon. 6:05 a.m. The boy's family is here. And yes, we were right. It is Cato. This is crazy. 6:07 a.m. Mom and son reunited. Attached was a photo of Cato in a hospital bed, hooked up to some kind of respirator. His mother was there in tears, but clearly happy to be able to hold her boy's hand again. I don't normally gush over this kind of stuff, but it honestly warmed my heart. 6:10 a.m. Text me, please. I'm so worried about everything. I did text her. I explained my phone had died and that I wasn't in any jail. I told her that I was so happy she was okay and that she could text me throughout the day. More than anything, I wanted to hear her voice, so I said to call at any time. That sunken feeling in my chest had lifted a little bit. Maybe things weren't so bad. In the kitchen, Aiko's aunt was already working on her Sudoku. There was an egg and rice meal waiting on two different placemats on the table. I remember it feeling very strange to have a morning alone with Nana Abasan, especially after such a weird night. I didn't really know what I was allowed to share yet, so I did my best to keep my composure. "Good morning, Nana," I said.
"Good morning."
Her focus was on solving one of the columns. I tried the word my fifth grade Japanese in a way that would explain what had happened without scaring or alarming Nana. Eventually, halfway through my breakfast, I produced my declaration. "Nana, you should know that last night, Aiko and I saved a child who had gone missing. We called for help and an ambulance took the child away. Aiko was a real hero and even accompanied the child on the helicopter ride. She is currently at Shimado Hospital and says she'll be back in about 1 to 2 days. I held up my phone to show her the texts, but quickly realized she couldn't read our English exchanges. So I lowered the phone and said, "She texted me all this in English, but you could call her if you want." Nana lowered her tea and looked at me briefly above her reading glasses. I think she believed me, but she only really seemed to focus on the tail end of my speech.
"So, Aiko is coming back in a few days?"
"Yes." She went back to her Sudoku.
"Okay."
Although Nana Abasan may not have appreciated what had happened last night, I kept replaying events in my head in total disbelief, focusing on the positive. Aiko's hunch proved true. We had saved a kid. We were heroes. I avidly reread all of Aiko's texts, imagining her typing them. There was a flutter in my chest from the anticipation of hearing more. I took a shortcut rounding the forest edge to get to work.
I still had a shift at Bakery Park today, and I felt it was crucial not to show up late. I'm sure I would be asked a dozen questions about last night and would have to explain Aiko's absence. As I walked along the gravel road, I tried to get my story straight. I would focus on the good news. Aiko and I had rescued a kid, for God's sake. Surely that would render our trespassing meaningless. Did anyone actually care that we had snuck into the park late? Then my phone chirped.
Candy floss nearby. Would you like to pick some?
For fuck's sake.
I clicked to close the app, but couldn't. Suddenly, I was staring at a polygonal version of Bakery Park's premier mascot. It was Mashumaru, the marshmallow tanuki. Just like in the confession storeroom, half his face was missing. It was like his pixelated skin couldn't quite cover his skeletal wireframe. He was dancing in a field of cotton candy. His voice was garbled, yet loud enough to peak my phone speaker.
Jemusu Naka Jogyoin 604373 Konnichiwa.
James Naka, employee number 604373. Hello. I tried to turn down the volume on my phone, but the interface was frozen.
Sakuya wa isho ni hasando kurete arigato.
Thanks for playing with me last night. This virtual mascot found a way to hijack my phone. None of my buttons worked. I freaked out a little. I even yelled without meaning to.
Stop! Stop this!
The virtual mascot's smile lengthened. He switched to English.
Stop what? Aren't you glad you saved Kato's soul?
I was surrounded by nothing but trees and the gravel beneath my feet. It was just me in this digital nightmare. I was irrationally afraid, but I covered it up with anger.
Who the fuck are you?
The tanuki waggled his rear towards the camera, grabbing cotton candy from the field.
That's a little rude. I don't talk to rude boys.
Are you a hacker? Are you kidnapping kids at Bakery Park?
Using the cotton candy as pom-poms, Mashumaru danced to the left and right, performing a little Macarena.
You better not be so mean next time, or else.
The app closed immediately. My phone returned to my home screen. I tried to open it again, but all that loaded up was a benign-looking inventory. It said I had collected candy floss.
Jesus Christ, what was that?
It seemed to me that there might be some nefarious hacking happening, like some terrorist had been able to exploit software at Bakery Park to capture a kid in the first place, and now he was trying to manipulate me? The thought chilled my bones. And it was possible that this was the same hacker who was responsible for kidnapping the other two missing children. And if that was true, who knows how many future kids could still be at risk. I decided I would have to tell the park staff my whole story. Everything. Children's lives could be at stake. I typed out last night's events in English on my phone, converting it as coherently as possible into Japanese. For 2 years, I had taught how to assemble speeches and essays for high schoolers in Tokyo, so it was about time I wrote my own. Whether or not Mashumaru could still spy on my phone and see what I was doing,
it didn't matter to me. Let him see. Let him be afraid. All this disorder had to stop. I arrived at the entrance to Bakery Park just before my shift was supposed to start. A big Boeing animatronic of Mashumaro in an apron greeting me by the front gate. His eyes had the typical upside-down V's of anime joy. Normally, this bowing statue would pep me up a little bit, making me excited to start my day. But today, it only gave me goosebumps. Without wasting time, I beelined to the employee check-in station. I wanted to tell my supervisor I had important news regarding the confession showroom. I had a whole, concise speech written out. As if reading my mind, the supervisor actually came to me after I punched in.
Naka-san, good morning. I want you to follow me. You're wanted at the head office.
All my training had been at the Welcome Center, so I had never actually been at the head office. Unlike the rest of the park with its pink, yellow, or other candy-colored buildings, the corporate building was unapologetically beige, hidden behind trees. My supervisor took me past the lobby, and we rode the elevator to the top floor, where we arrived at an empty reception area in front of a couple offices.
Wait for a minute, I'll let them know you're here.
I sat as straight and as still as possible. I was about to silence my phone so I didn't get a ping during the meeting when I received one more text from Aiko. 9:12 a.m. Something is wrong with Kato. He's making weird guttural sounds that the doctors don't understand. And he's talking now, but in an old man's voice. Like a really old man voice. He keeps saying, "More will come. More will come." I'm really scared. The parents are angry with me. They think I did something to their son. They're not letting me leave. Huh? I quickly messaged back. Kato's parents aren't letting you leave? What do you mean? A minute passed, then another. I was glued to the screen, checking for at least a check mark, a confirmation to see if Aiko had at least read my text. Nothing. The door into the largest office opened.
Please, come in.
It was the tall guard from last night who ushered me in. The one who was supposed to put me in a holding place. My gut contorted with so much stress that my intestines may have formed a balloon animal. Instead of his night guard uniform, he was now wearing a brown suit and tie. He introduced himself as Kaiblin, which literally translates to security guard. I was imagining a small desk and a window, something akin to a school principal's office. But instead, I had walked into an enormous penthouse suite with floor-to-ceiling windows overlooking the layout of Bakery Park. It smelled like coffee, cigarettes, and a weaker version of the same sweet scent they pumped throughout the whole park.
Welcome to Sato-san's office.
Kaibin gestured wide. Mr. Satou stood facing one of the large windows, coffee cup in hand. He was a short man, wearing big horned-rimmed glasses, slacks, and a dress shirt. No tie. I proceeded to bow, deeply and formally. I knew how important decorum was in Japanese office culture. Satou moved to go sit at his desk and dismissed my gesture as if it was unnecessary. He pointed at the many chairs close to him.
Come, please join me.
Myself and Kaibin followed. As I sat, I noticed the walls were overloaded with framed newspapers, magazines, and articles all featuring glowing praise for Bakery Park. The majority looked quite old.
So, I heard you were quite the savior last night, yes?
Mr. Satu asked, topping up his coffee.
Yes, we found a missing boy,
is all I managed to say. Kaibin must have told his boss all about the events of last night.
Good. We want to make sure our guests feel safe on our island. Quite important, don't you think?
Of course, yes.
And when the guests feel safe on our island, they will keep coming back to our park, yes?
Yes.
He was keeping the Japanese slow and simple for my sake, which I appreciated. But it also made me feel like a 4-year-old.
And it would be bad to start any unnecessary rumors, yes?
Yes.
Because we don't want to scare our guests, right?
Kaibin turned his seat to look at me. He reached into his jacket breast pocket and pulled out some cigarettes. The corners of my phone dug into my thigh, as if the speech I had written was nudging me. I smoothed my pants.
No, we don't want to scare our guests. That would be bad.
A cigarette was lit. Mr. Sato continued.
It is regrettable that we've also had children go missing on the island. But unfortunately, that's what we get with an untamed, forced, and free-spirited parents who let their little ones run wild. I've had my Bakery Park scoured many times for them.
Sato took a sip of his coffee and briefly glanced out the window.
Obviously, we could release a statement if a guest had been confirmed missing at our park. But so far, there simply has not been any evidence, has there, Kaibin?
Kaibin took a slow drag. He spoke without exhaling the smoke.
None. So, Naka-san, tell me.
Mr. Sato leaned forward on his desk. I could see two tiny, hunched versions of myself in his glasses.
Where exactly did you find the missing child last night?
I opened my mouth, then closed it. My phone felt like it weighed 20 pounds. We found the boy crumpled on the ground, unconscious, I think. It became very quiet. The AC unit had cycled off. I looked at my hands, at the stamp I was forcefully given last night at the back of my palm.
Forrest.
I could feel both of their eyes scanning me up and down, searing through me.
He was in the middle of the forest.
Kaibin exhaled a long plume of tobacco. Mr. Sato leaned back in his chair.
Well, thank goodness you went looking. Very noble of you. I can see you had the Forest Reserve's official ink brand, so that all adds up.
Yes, it does.
Sato lifted his cup and nodded back.
I had no clue I had employed such selfless heroes at my company. How long have you been working here?
I looked up and pointed to myself.
Me? About 2 months.
Sato drank deeply from his cup, emptying the whole thing. Then he circled the rim with his finger, playing with some thought.
Well, Naku-san, you have proven to be very exemplary in your short time being here. I have a new position that would be very well suited for a Westerner, actually, if it interests you.
What do you mean?
Sato looked over at Kaibin and released a small laugh.
I mean exactly what I say.
There was something in the Japanese I wasn't understanding. The small man reached into his desk drawer and pulled out some paper covered in kanji. He scribbled something along the bottom, then inscribed his signature.
How would you like a promotion?
In the elevator down, I had trouble processing what just happened. Had I been bribed? Is this what bribe feels like? I held on to what I assumed was my new contract and tried to make out the characters. I could read Bakery Park and Change of Wage. It looked like they were going to pay me triple what I was making before. But was this good news? Or had I agreed to something terrible? I didn't know who I could trust at this park anymore. The person I needed to talk to was Aiko. I checked to see if she had responded to my message. It was still unread. My fingers started texting a follow-up. If she didn't respond by noon, I would try calling her on my break. Before I could hit send, however, I got a notification from Bakery Park Hunt.
Molasses nearby? Would you like to
save another soul?
Once again, I was staring at a polygonal version of Mashimaru. His head hadn't loaded properly, so it was just his smiling face floating above his torso. His body was backstroking through a well-rendered brown liquid, reflecting white light.
Jemusu Chu Shayan, number 604373, Konnichiwa!
James Naka, employee number 604373, hello.
Gokiyaku itada, arigato zaimasu!
Thank you for signing the contract.
What?
I said in English first, to which Mashimaru didn't react. So I repeated it in Japanese.
What are you talking about?
The screen turned blinding white.
Anata wa ima watashi no tamni harati ishimu.
You work for me now. The whole elevator shook. I grabbed the railings. Then, without warning, the elevator dropped. I was tossed about a foot in the air. For a few punctuated moments, all was weightless. Then I landed hard on my back. The lights went out. I'm not normally claustrophobic, but in this situation, I was hit with an intense fear that something was going to cave in on me. I hugged my knees and curled up in a corner. A weird familiar chirping sound came out of my phone, stabbing and prying out some old memory that I couldn't quite place. After lying curled for a few minutes, I snatched the device and saw that the headless 3D model of Mashimaru was howling with laughter. I snatched the device and saw the headless 3D model of Mashimaru was howling with laughter. Then I placed the noise. It was the sound effect of a character laughing in Animal Crossing. A repetitive little chirp.
Please, tell me, I asked in Japanese. Who are you?
Aiko-san wa tetemo yo sukuro de shita. Watashi tachi mo tetsudetsu kuromasen ka.
Aiko was a very good helper. Will you help us also? The mention of Aiko riveted me to the floor. I stared at the screen, unblinking.
What do you know about Aiko?
Watashi mo sono.
Mr. Monopoly here! Monopoly is back at McDonald's! Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag!
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag!
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag!
Play Monopoly at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Called Kunehomi Masahio Okorimashita.
I messaged her about the kid too. She was so eager to help. My heart sank. Was Mashumaro the whole reason she wanted to go searching for the kid last night? Was she being manipulated on her phone? You messaged her last night? The tanuki dove into the shimmering lake of molasses. When he popped back up, his head had finally loaded.
Watashi na shitegata kurasi so suraba. Wakaramasu, hai hai hai.
Follow me and you will see. He he he. Mashumaro swam up to the beachy shore, where he sat up and blew a kiss at the camera. The scene ended and the app flashed. You have collected molasses. I tried to swipe back to Mashumaro, but he was gone. The app just showed me a virtual jar of molasses next to cotton candy. The lights turned on again, and the elevator resumed its normal function. I stood up, feeling all the aches across my back. A goose egg formed at the back of my head. When the door opened, I ran out, practically knocking a custodian to the ground. Thinking back at it now, this was probably when I truly had my first panic attack. I remember that feeling of adrenaline in my throat and lungs, that shaking in my legs. I ran until I was at the main thoroughfare of Bakery Park, away from all the buildings, away from anything that could trap me. Even though I was surrounded by guests following towards the attractions, I had never felt so alone in my life. Aiko was my entire anchor. She wasn't here to guide me. It was just me on this foreign island where I couldn't properly understand the language or dialect. And the fucking mascot was sending me ominous threats in the theme park app. I sat at a bench, held my head, and just breathed. I was expected to work today and pretend everything was normal, but everything didn't feel like normal. It's like Aiko and I had opened a Pandora's box that only we were privy to, and the troubles of the world were going to swallow us up. Over the next 10 minutes, I remember running through all of my options to calm myself down. 1. I could leave. All of my stuff was at Nana Obasan's house, and if I wanted to be a dick, I could just grab it and go. But I couldn't do that. How could I leave without Aiko returning? I didn't even know where Aiko truly was at this point. I at least wanted to make sure Aiko was safely back home. And even if I wanted to ghost everyone, I would have to book a ferry and then book somewhere to stay. The whole reason I was working at this theme park was because I was broke and couldn't really afford to do those things. In a very real sense, I was kind of trapped here. And so I settled on the next option. 2. Push through. The only way forward was through. If I could at least work through the rest of the day, maybe I could get some news from Aiko. Maybe she'd finally call me. Hearing her voice would cool everything down about 1,000%. And when she came back, I'm sure she would explain away the creepy guards and intense CEO as some kind of cultural misunderstanding. There's no way this is all as scary as I'm making it out to be, right? So that's what I told myself. Aiko would call me soon, and we could figure this out together. After gathering enough fortitude, I marched back to employee check-in, chanting a mantra in my head
Aiko will call me. I will get through this. Aiko will call me. I will get through this.
When I arrived to grab my name tag, my supervisor greeted me kindly. He explained that he had already been notified of my promotion. My new role would be extremely busy, and there was a lot to explain, which was music to my ears because I just wanted to occupy myself with anything.
Good. I'm glad you're excited because I got some fun news.
He took my keycard and enabled some new permissions.
You're going to be working at our brand new attraction today. For the first time ever, we are opening the Confection Showroom.
You mean the abandoned building?
Not anymore, he smiled. It'll become your new home. They've made you into a cast member.